Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hey, this is Griffin.
And this is wonderful.
Feeling punk rock this episode. How about you?
I could tell you just threw the lid of your water bottle on the ground.
I threw it down to the ground. I felt like in that moment, it was kind of the system. And I said, I'd rather not today. And so I put it down. I guess I'm just not feeling up to putting up to any guff from anyone or any entity this evening as I record this show with you.
I am starting to wonder if there is a waxing or a waning moon or if there is something in our third house or, you know. You and I think, are experiencing a similar fog.
A fog, if you will.
And, you know, we are the same astrological sign.
Mercury's in retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
There's drops of Jupiter in her hair. And that always gets me down, always gets me low. Yeah, who knows? Sometimes, you know, you're on the downswing, but it can only go up from here. Boy, it's been a long day. It's been a long day of 3-year-old check-in doctor appointments with shots and everything, full-blown ballistic meltdowns and just a cavalcade.
I like to get that first in the morning appointment, but I waited too long to book it, and so we had to do the 9:40 appointment, which turned into
hate to get shots at 9:40.
Me getting to work at almost noon.
Yeah, but we filled our child with the good poison.
Yeah.
That's going to keep him so safe.
True.
And it's worth it, I guess. But do you have any small wonders?
I do. I wanted to give a tip of the hat.
Oh.
To the new Mike Birbiglia special.
Oh,
we
yes.
We watched it last night.
The new one.
It's literally called The New One. It's on Netflix. And it made me laugh and cry.
Yeah. It's real talk. Real talk stuff, baby stuff mostly, and it reawakened some memories from that first year of childhood.
I think the ideal viewer feels very close to an infant in their life because there's a lot of discussion of infants and being around them and how they impact your life. And it's a very funny. Very funny take.
Funny, but actually funny. Not funny and like a kid say the darndest things funny.
Yeah, not like a
real adult jokes with cussing and everything.
Not like a Home Improvement, let's say.
You watch it. You're on thin ice. I'm going to say Trader Joe's broccoli and kale slaw. Boy, it takes me there every time we have it. Ooh, it's good. It's a little chopped salad and no scrambled eggs required. It's got like a sweet dressing on it with little dried blueberries and some, what are those little guys? Those pepitas. What do you call them? Anyway, they're good as hell. Little crunchums. Love it. Love this salad.
I think it might be a pine nut.
Might be some sort of pine nut.
Mm-hmm.
No one's quite sure. Trader Joe himself doesn't know. Mm-hmm. I'll say Trader Joe's in general. I want to get there. I mean, you've done Trader Joe's on this show, I feel like, before. I just want to eat those little chocolate cat cookies. All day and night.
Yeah, should I be buying those more than I do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I know we're gonna have an argument about it. Now we're gonna have a big fight about it, I guess.
I thought you were gonna say your small wonder was that our anniversary is coming up.
No.
You're so excited.
I wasn't
about
gonna
it.
Say that.
Because it's...
I'll talk about it next week if it goes well.
Oh,
you know, but I don't want to hype it up too much.
Mm-hmm.
You do that to movies all the time, and it would make the movie bad. I don't want to do that with our anniversary.
Oh, we saw some good movies too.
Hell yeah, we did. In fact, I'm going to start my first wonder.
Ooh.
My first wonder is the mighty voice of Idina Menzel.
Ooh.
My first wonder. It's a big wonder, and it's Idina Menzel's impossibly powerful throat sounds that she can make with her voice.
It is really incredible.
It's a wild voice, and it's wild how much stuff she has done with it. How many big roles of women vocalists who are characters in movies and plays.
Oh,
that is her.
I forgot she was in Rent, right?
She was Maureen in the original cast of Rent. This was in 1996, and that's really where she made her first big break. If you don't know, she's Elsa, Princess Elsa. She's from Frozen.
She does the Frozen.
She does the Frozen. She is Elsa. But she's done a lot of other stuff too, including Maureen in Rent. She opened up with the show in 1996 and made a huge splash, got a Tony nomination for her performances in that one, and was only in it for a year. I think a lot of the like OG cast that kind of like really defined the show were only in it for, to varying degrees, but like it was a short run, but that's always the cast that I think of, mostly because also they got a lot of them back in the movie of Rent, which was so-so. But Idina Menzel was in it, and she did a great job. So that was 96. She started putting out solo albums after that, just doing a ton of stuff, and then she blew up again in 2003. You know what she was in next?
I don't.
Wicked. She was Elphaba in Wicked. And in 2003, like, I feel like 2003 to 2005, all my theater friends, because this was back in the day, like, I was still doing theater, they were, like, obsessed with Wicked.
Yeah.
And I feel like the cool thing then, and probably is still now to some extent, is if all of your theater friends like a show, you don't like it because of how commercial. Yeah, I feel like, yeah, everybody, I don't know. I wanted to be on some hipster bullshit. Like, oh yeah, I guess Wicked is good. But if
so
you
what was your theatrical go-to then?
I didn't have, I think for me, it was mostly my punk rock music and, you know, David Mamet, smart shit, you know, for smarties.
Mm-hmm. Edward Albee.
But then I went and saw Wicked and like an off-Broadway or a touring production in Cleveland or Columbus, one of those sea cities. I loved it. I had a good time with it.
You know, we both saw it, except when I saw it, it was a bootleg DVD that was purchased off eBay.
Your dad should be in jail. Your dad should go to federal prison for how many bootleg theatrical. My dad, they should share a cell. They should share a cell together.
Don't ask Griffin's dad or my dad to unzip their coat, because inside you'll see just a rack
full of DVDs. I'm going to play very short clips because I don't want the Disney company to sue us. I mostly want to highlight just sort of individual notes, because she has a great voice. It's very versatile. She can do a more sort of like coquettish, just soft, gentle voice, and then can also just like fucking come at you with a fist of a note, just a big swinging haymaker of a note. There's a note at the end of Defying Gravity, which is sort of the big anthem from Wicked, that she hits that just completely floors me in a wild way. I'm gonna play just a short bit of that now. She's got a great voice, but these like soaring notes that she just fucking blasts, like it is violent in a way. She just sends them packing. And that's the power I'm talking about, the power of her voice. Like, it is a very tangible thing, and I can only think of a few singers that are like this, where there are notes that she sings and there are songs that she sings that like actually give me chills just with the delivery of those songs. 2013 or 2014 is when Frozen came out. Obviously, Let It Go was the biggest song ever. It won an Oscar, it won a Grammy, and it was nominated for a Golden Globe. So, you know, I think she has probably one of the most famous singing voices on the planet just for Let It Go alone. That's also when we got the Adele Dazeem era, Choppy Waters. They squashed the beef, though. I didn't realize in the following Oscars they presented together and she referred to him as Glom Gazingo. That's fun. They have fun with it, see? So Frozen 2, Rachel and I just saw in theaters. I thought the music was even better.
Like, I think so too.
And I missed some of the movie because of we went with Henry and there were some interruptions, let's say, that made me miss some key plot points. But the songs were so good. And again, I'm only going to play about 4 seconds of Into the Unknown now, because there's a note she hits that's just like, what? Into the Do you know what portamento is? You did some band stuff.
Yeah, but I don't know that.
It's like when notes glide together, it is like the quality of the glide between notes. She hits that a lot, like in her singing voice, but when she does Into the Unknown, like it's all over that song, and especially in the chorus, which is essentially like, you know, three long notes, where she goes, Into the Unknown. Like that glide up into it is like, yeah. It sounds like she's just launching that shit at you like from a trebuchet. Like it is, it's so good. I don't have anything erudite to add about Idina Menzel's like incredible voice, but I think it's very unique. Mm-hmm. I love a good singer. Like I talk about that on this show all the time, but this is a different metric, I feel
it's like.
It's
like, it feels more than most people singing, it feels like she has a superpower.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of people are talented singers and you hear them and you think, oh, that's somebody who has really honed their craft. She seems like maybe she was born with this gift that also could overturn a car.
Yeah, it's like the opera singer singing loud enough to shatter a glass thing, yeah, but instead of that, it just makes me go like kind of like, whoa. Literally, ooh, whoa.
Yeah.
That was weird. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I apologize for even singing two notes of Into the Unknown just now. I can't do it. It's way out of my register. Let me work on it though. I'm going to classes. You know, polishing the instrument.
We should mention a while back, I had a conversation with Griffin where I asked him if he thought if somebody that was less talented could go to enough vocal classes that they would become a superstar.
Idina Menzel.
Yeah. Because I thought, is this really something that you can, you know, Gladwell through and become an expert? And Griffin indicated that he thought it some people just were born with exceptional talent. And other people would have to, you know, never get there.
Well, I mean, I am not trying to go fucking. I'm not trying to make an Ayn Rand stand here on our podcast, you know, together.
And so some people have super great pipes, and maybe like
I'm thinking about the throat meat specific. Like,
oh, okay.
I was born with a certain kind of throat meat.
Yeah,
that gives because it gives you a certain quality, right? Like. We are talking so far out of our asses right now, but like, if she's like an alto, then can you be a soprano also? Like,
yeah,
if I have a deep
point.
Baritone voice, like, then I don't know that I could train myself up to a tenor voice. I feel like you're talking about a certain physiological element.
I guess what I'm asking is if I start taking vocal lessons, could I be really, really good?
Yeah, baby. Of course you could. You have a beautiful voice already. It's mellifluous.
I'm just terrified, I think, that I would do it for a long time and I would never get anywhere.
Well, I mean, that's why you go on American Idol. You go on The Voice and you find out if you've made it.
Okay.
That's why people go on those shows, is to find out whether the investment of time that they put in their entire lives.
I'm thinking about taking voice lessons. Let me see if I have to.
Yes, exactly. Go on. That's a good point. Go on now to get a baseline. And then it'll be so inspiring when, like, you know, 6 or 7 years later, you come back on and they're like, I remember this punk. Go ahead and give us that stink voice and you blast them with some Menzel shit. Hey, what's your first thing?
My first thing is birth control.
Hey.
Yes.
All right.
I'm not going to get real detailed here. I like that it exists.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
I feel like it gave people a lot of freedom in their lives, and it gave a lot of recognition to the idea of sex for pleasure, and yep. I think it deserves to be a wonderful thing.
Are you talking about pills in particular? You're talking about just contraception?
Just contraception.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, because everything, I mean, like any drug or any, you know, like medical method, there are side effects and pitfalls. And so I'm not going to say like, this is the one, guys. Like if you're going to protect yourself, this is the
right.
guy. Like I'm not here to do that.
Yeah.
This is something that I started taking in college and I thought it was the most magical, wonderful thing ever. Because at the time, not only did it help protect me from becoming pregnant, but it also cleared up my skin.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It is wild. But that's not like a super uncommon thing, right?
No.
There's like hormonal reasons why it does the shit it does.
Yeah. Levels you right out, you know?
Yeah.
You
need a nice indica birth control pill to just give you a nice head high. And really, I can't start my day without...
That would be really incredible if there were dispensaries.
Just edibles that also kept you from getting pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'd be cool. God, I sound like total fucking old cops.
So, I wanted to start with a condom.
Okay.
Because condoms have been around since 3000 BC.
That makes sense that dudes would be like, me first. Do mine first.
Condoms made from such materials as fish bladders, linen sheaths, and animal intestines were around in 3000 BC.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's, hey, oh, sorry. That's fucking gross.
I know. I like thinking, though, like, let's say somebody's sitting there and they're cutting apart, you know, a creature, and yeah, they're looking and they're pulling out the stuff they don't want to eat. And then they think, hey, wait a minute.
Hmm. Do you think it started with, I can put that on my dick and then it'll catch all the stuff and so I won't get them pregnant? Or do you think it started with, like, I'm going to put my dick in that? And then, like, the 100th time they did it, they were like, hey, I actually have a good idea for... Or somebody caught them and they're like, hey, what you're doing right now is awful. And they're like, O-F-F-A-L?
I'm a scientist.
Like, yes, excuse me. How dare you? I'm having sex with this sheep's stomach for science. Thank you.
So you didn't see condoms made out of rubber until 1838. Before that, you could see like linen sheaths and animals and yeah, it was.
Let me know the effectiveness rate of your linen sheet condom, because I bet it's.
Well, so in 1500, they identified the first spermicides and would soak the linen sheets in the spermicide and let it dry.
Oh, even worse. Good. It's getting worse.
And then
worse.
Put that stiff, you know,
cordwood like material, wrap it around your member.
Yeah.
And then have sex, I guess.
Here is something I didn't know about until I was doing research. Were you familiar with the Comstock Act?
Oh God, that sounds familiar, but it might just be because it sounds like a BioShock thing.
In 1873, this act was passed in the United States and it prohibited advertisements, information, and distribution of birth control, and allowing the Postal Service to confiscate birth control sold through the mail.
What?
Right?
That's bad. Isn't that doesn't that seem like it should be
terrible
anything.
And crazy?
Yes.
I didn't do a lot of research on kind of how this movement started, but obviously it was kind of a huge setback for the advancement there for a little while.
What? That the post office could be like, nope. Yeah, I think that's probably.
Well, and also that you couldn't even advertise or distribute information.
Yeah. How do you get it? How did you get it? I guess you got to know a guy.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's not great.
So 1916 is where you saw the first birth control clinic in the United States. This was Margaret Sanger, not a great lady.
Yeah.
Her reasons behind birth control were not ideal.
She was on some eugenic shit, yes?
Yes.
Not ideal, I think we can all agree.
Yes. She, though, did kind of blaze a trail because she was challenging, you know, the opposition against this. And so she went to jail a few times. And then finally in 1938, in a case involving her, a judge lifted the federal ban on birth control.
In
1938.
That's not that long ago, it feels like.
Well, you want to know something even crazier?
What's that?
So it wasn't until 1972 that the Supreme Court legalized birth control for all citizens of the country.
What was it, a state by state thing at that point?
Yeah, so it was kind of a weird thing. This is what I didn't realize. In 1965, the Supreme Court gave married couples the right to use birth control.
Oh, fuck off.
Ruling that it was protected in the Constitution as a right to privacy.
But only for marrieds?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Millions of unmarried women in 26 states were still denied birth control.
That sucks so bad.
I'm guessing that was probably the only way they could get it through, right? Was that like this idea that we don't want to encourage you to have sex, but I guess if you're married, then you should be able to. So maybe we can say it's all right for you not to get pregnant. I don't know.
God.
It's a really strange,
wouldn't it want to be,
terrible reason.
Sorry, government from 1965. Wouldn't you want it to be the other way around? Where the people who...
I know, you'd think so, right?
Right? Isn't that kind of like your whole fucking setup
in
your brain?
It's still this idea that like maybe if we pretend that people don't want to have sex, they won't have sex. And so if we make it seem like it's remotely okay, then it's us saying it's okay. And we don't want to be the people to say it's okay.
It's wild. If they had allowed advertisements back when it was this, you know, spermicide-soaked cardboard material that you wrapped around your penis, I think that this whole movement would have died on the vine. But instead, they had to make it this exotic thing.
Also, we haven't really talked about STIs, but obviously this is...
Condoms
in particular are like a huge windfall for avoiding.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
One more thing I'll say about Margaret Sanger. In 1950, while she was in her 80s, she underwrote the research necessary to create the first human birth control pill.
Okay.
And so in 1960, that was when the first pill was approved by the FDA as contraception. So that's another kind of huge step for the movement. And that's, you know, kind of where I come into the picture.
1963, Detective Rachel McElroy.
I leaped, yes. Is what I did.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Sure.
I mean,
a little bit outside of your own timeline, but mm-hmm. I'll allow it.
Mm-hmm. Well, my guide, it was within my guide's timeline.
Oh, and mm-hmm. your guide was?
Val. Mm-hmm. She was kind of a spicy broad.
Yeah.
But she was born in the 50s, so I was able to leap because there was a lightning strike. And then I was able to leap and hurt.
Hey, do you have a spec script somewhere sitting around for Quantum Leap, the new class?
You know, I just think they should bring it back. And I think they should put some women in some roles.
Yeah.
Spice it up. Modernize it.
It's a long overdue.
The world's ready. That's all. There's all sorts of touch points. Obviously, different evolutions of the types of birth control. I have always been very grateful for it. I think it's an incredible thing. I think it has so many benefits beyond just preventing people from pregnancy that I think it's very important. And I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, it's a good thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a good thing in general. And the fact that there's any sort of contention about that at all in any sector is...
Hey, prudes, people are going to...
People going to do it.
People are going to have sex.
Can't stop them. Can't stop me. I bone every night. I am such a... I'm doing it every night. I'm getting it so just wild up in here. You can't tell me to put that tiger back in the cave?
No.
Or the cage? Or I keep the cage in the cave?
Uh-huh.
This is a secret tiger, but when I let... Tell him, babe, when I let it out, when the tiger come out...
Yeah. Kitty likes to scratch.
Kitty likes to scratch. Better hide them steaks. I'm going to smash in the window to the steaks shop every night, uh-huh. all night long.
Uh-huh.
Tell them.
Yeah.
That's the noise I like to make. Yeah. You know, they uh-huh. know. Uh-huh. Can I steal you away?
Yes. Can I read this first personal message?
Yes.
It is for Ryan. It is from Alex. Hey, honey, by the time you hear this, we will be married. My wife.
Oh, you really needed to take a running start at that one. You want to try again? I don't want people to get upset.
My wife.
You said it the exact way that you just said it. I've never been so heartbroken.
Do you want to?
No.
Okay. Well, this is a change of pace.
32-year-old.
I'll have finished my... Okay, let me just... Hey, you know what? Let me just start over. Hey, honey, by the time you hear this, we will be married. My wife. I'll have finished my master's. And who knows what other crazy things we'll have gotten up to. Remember that the most wonderful thing in my life is you. I love you. I like you. And I can't wait to listen to this with you. Signed, your pickle sweet potato muffin pancake.
I just had an extremely powerful thought, and I need everybody to do it in their brains.
Okay.
And we may need to take a little break after just what I'm about to say, because I'm not going to be able to say or think of anything else.
Okay.
But what do you think it would sound like if Idina Menzel sang her Borat impression to my wife?
Oh.
It would be strong. It would be a strong song.
I feel like the word wife would last for 3 minutes.
Yeah. She would slide up into it and then like blast it in like octaves unknown.
I see. I've got Into the Unknown stuck in my head now.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking of wife just hitting
my
all those.
My wife! but yeah. good and loud and powerful and strong, but still fucking funny. I have a personal message here. This one's for Michael, and it's from Kirsten, who says, "My darling Michael, you inspire me every day, and I am so proud of you. Keep working hard to be the best therapist ever. I'm so happy that we are now engaged and can now actively work on our plans for a bright future full of cuddles, academic achievements, and eventual global domination. I love you so much, mon chevalier. Chevalier?
Chevalier.
Chevalier. Really?
I don't know. That's what the singer, I think Chevalier there was a singer.
Named Chevalier?
Yeah, I think so. There's a Marx Brothers reference.
Every time
to
we
it.
Do the Jumbotrons, we are absolutely the Clampets.
We interrupt the podcast you're listening to tell you about another podcast. That's right. We Got This with Mark and Hal.
That's correct, Mark. This is Hal. We do the hard work for you, settling all of the meaningless arguments you have with your friends.
So tune in every week on the Maximum Fun Network for We Got This with Mark and Hal, and all your questions will be asked and answered.
You're welcome. All right, that's enough of that.
We got this.
Do you want to know my second thing?
Yes.
Holiday inflatables. Big holiday inflate. This is going to be our most contentious subject to date.
Are you going to tell our dark secret?
That we bought a holiday inflatable?
That's the one.
That's not especially dark secret,
it
I feel like.
It feels like it to me.
Rachel doesn't love these guys, I think. And I do now.
I like, okay, let me paint a picture of a tasteful Christmas in my head. I like a white light.
Yeah.
I like maybe some pine needles. I like a red ribbon.
Okay.
You know, I like a classy Christmas.
I do too.
You
know? I do too.
And I feel like a big inflatable minion is not that.
Well, okay, sure. A big inflatable nude penis would be bad too. A big inflatable murder scene would be bad to have in your front yard. I agree, Rachel. But
you think our 7-foot-tall Mickey is tasteful?
More tasteful than the things just listed, including a minion by an enormous factor. Yes, I would say okay. So. I have experienced a number of personal changes over the last few years that have made me sort of more enthusiastic about the holiday inflatable zeitgeist. And the biggest thing is that decorating the outside of a house sucks shit. And it's not decorating inside. We did tree decoration, you know, Black Friday. We got that shit out. We were enthusiastic about the tree.
Yeah,
decor.
Griffin basically did it by himself in like 15 minutes.
Interior decor, all about it, all about
yeah,
it, all
yeah,
about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Climbing on a ladder to strap lights onto some shit. No, that part is bad, actually. That part's really, really rough. Trying to wrap those horrible net lights around like a box hedge is a fucking nightmare. It sucks so bad.
Also, and this is the thing that they haven't really figured out a solution for, is that you'll get all those things out of the box and then you have to put them back in the box when the season is ended, and it is impossible.
I want compostable Christmas lights that yes. I can just leave on there until little birds come and turn it into nests or whatever compost is. Holiday inflatable, no problem. You run an extension cord,
yeah,
you flip a switch,
true.
And poof, there it is. Whoop, there it is. I'm also, you, there before the grace of God go you, because I'm about to get into like those like laser snowflake projectors that just go in your, no lights required. It's fucking light, baby.
Griffin tried to sneak this in when we went and bought our inflatable. He was like, hey, look at that. Well, Henry'd probably like that. And I was like, but it's on the outside of our house. He'd never see it.
That's true.
That was sneaky.
That's true. It's just, it's so, the appeal of the inflatable is so seductive to me. And I will also say there is a Pringles effect where we have the one.
No.
Well, no. When you look at our front yard and it's just got the one inflatable, that looks ridiculous.
You see.
Don't you think that looks silly? Just having, what kind of house would have no other decorations and just one inflatable? The person who lives in that house is dangerous.
It's just because we don't have any lights on our house. That's what it is.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. We have no lights and just one inflatable. Who's in that house and what are they fucking
that
planning?
That does explain why every person I know that has bought one inflatable somehow now also has five or more.
Yes. That's
but I'm not on board.
Well, we'll do one a year. We'll get one new one a year. And I think that's what we'll... We got it because we wanted a fun afternoon activity with Henry. We knew he'd be really into it. They had a Snoopy at his school that he was a big fan of. We just walk by and boop it every morning. He was a big fan. And now we have a big 7.5 foot tall Mickey friend in the front yard, and just having this ever present guardian, this illuminated sentry at our front door, is very, it makes me feel safe. Makes you feel warm. Also helps get the child out the door every morning because he sees a huge Mickey in the front yard. All of a sudden, he doesn't want to be in the house arguing about which shoes he wants to wear. Now he wants to be out there with the rat and partying with him.
Mm-hmm.
Another great thing that I really love is the comedic element of, one, what it looks like when you turn it off. When you turn it off, when you turn our Mickey off, he just very gently passes away into the bushes. He falls backwards perfectly every time and then just kind of dies.
Yeah.
And it's very gentle and very peaceful and kind of sweet. But then when the nighttime comes and I turn it back on again, he springs up like he is a teenager who was masturbating in his room and I walked in on him. He's like, "Dad, knock." That's really good to me, and I think it's funny, and I like it a lot, and I want to have a whole secret garden of inflatables with some of my favorite. Pikachu will be there, Hank Hill, a Hank Hill inflatable.
Oh, that's fun.
A Hank Hill inflatable, but he's like lying down on his belly with his like chin resting on his hands, just kind of like sitting there, and he's also 30 feet long.
Will you do your Hank Hill? I love it so much.
Bobby.
Oh, God, it's so good. I love it.
Damn it, Bobby. That wasn't bad.
You're really good at it.
I'm dialing it in. Anyway, I love these guys. No one can change my mind. What's your second thing?
My second thing is what everybody's working for.
The weekend?
It is the weekend.
Oh, God. Okay. I didn't think that was it.
Not the band. I think about that a lot, about what it took to get that weekend.
A lot of unionization and fighting from labor movements, from what I understand.
I think, I mean, a lot of people want to have a 2-day work week. And I don't think that's reasonable.
Who's saying that?
A lot of people want a 3-day work week, and I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
5 feels right to me.
Okay. Hey, listen to me. Hey, this is Griffin. 4 feels right to me.
Whoa.
Now who's your favorite member of the podcast? I'm also a staunch supporter of the $15 minimum wage. In fact, I think it should be much, much higher than that.
Gosh.
Rachel's not always on that boat, are you?
She likes a $6 minimum. Your candidacy for president.
Anyway, I was waiting for Kamala to go.
Bunch of people to drop out.
Once the thin Beto, is Beto out? Beto's out, right?
Oh, he's been out.
Beto, I needed Beto and Kamala together. They were enough to topple me, but now it's
Castro's out.
It's just going to be me and Bloomberg fucking duking it out at the top.
Can I tell you about the history of weekends?
Yes.
1870s, Industrial Revolution. People are working 10 to 16 hour days, 7 days a week. And when I say people, I mean men, women, and children.
Yeah.
Rough times.
Not great.
Here is something I didn't realize.
Okay.
So getting Sunday off for worship was relatively easy. A lot of employers were like, all right, Sundays, you can have Sundays. Saturday was a struggle, particularly for the Jewish people.
Yeah, that's why. I was just about to say, that's Sabbath.
There was kind of a huge immigration, as you might remember, of Jewish people. And they wanted the Sabbath off on Saturday. And I was reading this article from, it was like a marketplace news story, and they were like, hey, if the Sabbath had been on Wednesday, we might not have a weekend, because a big motivator was, you know, Jewish people didn't want to work on Saturday.
Yeah, sure.
And then obviously a lot of labor organizers. This was literal police gunning down protesters, men being hanged. It was a very violent, rough struggle.
It was a nightmare.
Yes.
They were on some fucking legit Peaky Blinder shit. It's not great.
People started the 5-day work week kind of in fits and starts around the United States. In 1908, the first 5-day work week was instituted by a New England cotton mill.
Oh.
And this was specifically so Jewish workers would not have to work on the Sabbath. In 1926, Henry Ford began shutting down his automotive factories for all of Saturday and Sunday. And this is interesting. I didn't think about this at the time because it sounds a little altruistic, like, oh, how nice that he was like taking care of his workers. But then they made the suggestion. This enabled the road trip, like the weekend road trip.
Oh.
Dude's trying to sell cars. How are people going to go out on these long drives in their cars
if they don't have 2 days off? Every waking hour of the week. Yeah.
That was interesting. I wouldn't have even thought of that. Okay. So in 1929, the Amalgamated Clothing Workers of America Union was the first union to demand and receive a 5-day work week. And then there was kind of a slow build. And then finally in 1940, a provision of a Fair Labor Standards Act mandated a maximum 40-hour work week. And the 2-day weekend was adopted nationwide. The Fair Labor Standards Act is kind of incredible because not only does it bring the weekend, it creates a right to minimum wage and time and a half overtime pay and prohibits employment of minors in oppressive child labor.
That's one act?
That's one act, dude.
That's a huge act.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
It's wild to me that there are people alive still today who were there when an act got, obviously this is not the only thing passed in the lifetime of people living today that was huge, but like that's so much shit that defines like everything now.
Yeah.
Like the tempo at which we live out our weeks was determined by this act. That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I know a lot of people end up working more than 40 hours, you know, and they end up working on the weekend. But people worked real hard to get us the right to a weekend. And that's important,
yes.
I think that's all I want to say about that.
Folks, these are two good days. What do you know them? You know Saturday, you know Sunday.
I know, and I like them both for very specific reasons, I think. I mean, Saturday's obviously fun because you're getting started, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you got to sleep in a little bit. You know, you got to wear your pajamas a little longer and you're excited about your Saturday night activities.
Mm.
Sunday's kind of the day where you get your stuff done.
You do
your laundry, maybe you make sure you have your groceries, you think about your week, you get ready for it.
Yeah, I had a different relationship with it, I feel like, when, you know, we were going to church every morning.
Yeah, that's true.
Because we did Sunday school and, you know, proper service, like, every Sunday. And when you sort of have half your day spoken for on a weekend, like, it feels like the other half, you're like, well, I may as well, you know, finish reading that book that I need to read for school, or I may as well clean my room now.
Yeah. I like making a big meal on Sunday, you know, that you can have going into your week.
Yeah.
You know, that's a nice one. And then if you do something fun, it feels like a little bonus.
Hey,
I got a fun thing on a Sunday.
Yeah. And then forget it when you have a long weekend.
And you're like, what day is it?
And you're like, what day even is it?
And then you go back to work and you're like, well, it's Monday. Ugh. Wait, no, it's Tuesday. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I need a vacation. And you say stuff like, I need a vacation for my vacation.
Oh, yeah.
You say shit like that.
Yeah, I love it.
Any big Christmas plans? coffee maker broke again.
Mm-hmm. Also, you're kind of mentioning the flip side of it, but on Fridays, right?
Everybody's Fridays, like, Fridays, though. Holy shit.
Everybody's like, it's almost the weekend. Yeah.
Thursday too, like you're already sliding down, like you're getting momentum on Thursday. You're like sliding down the hill and you're like, here we go, here we go, here we go. And you're like at work, you're like, what's that? It's Friday, coming tomorrow.
How long do you think people had to have weekends before they were like, oh, I gotta go back to work? You know, like, you know how like they probably fought super hard to get the weekend and then probably after a few months, they were just like, only 2 days, what? You know?
I doubt that's true. I think that's probably a horrible thing to say. No, I think 5 days, I think they were like, we got it. 5 days is right. Because it gives you Monday where you're like, ugh, Monday. Mm-hmm. And Tuesday, we're like, ugh, it's only Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we're like, hump day. And then Thursday, you're like, what's that smell? It's Friday around the corner. And then Friday, you're like, here we go. Any big Christmas plans? That's all the things that you need to say to your coworkers at the office. This act figured that out for you.
Have I ruined our podcast?
You did a little bit. Hey, can I tell you what our friends at home are talking about?
Please.
Danielle says, got a Dutch oven for half price at TJ Maxx.
This is everything. This is big mood for me.
It's a big, big mood, Danielle. Danielle adds, this little Dutch boy can handle anything you throw at him. Stovetop, boiling, frying, baking. Don't worry about it. He's a true wunderkind. He can do it all. Love him so much. We need a Dutch oven,
we
though.
We do. I always see those things, especially like when they make them in a bright color. And mm-hmm. I think that looks nice.
Looks very, very good. Levi says, my wonderful thing is winter candles with scents like candy cane, gingerbread, and hot cocoa. It triggers a memory of the holiday season and more recently of when I met my wife.
See, you got it in there.
It was bad. That one caught me by surprise. I like didn't know that I was mm-hmm. in it until I was like halfway through my. But anyway, yeah, Rachel got a Christmas tree candle that is really doing it for me.
Yes. Man, you got to get on that, especially if you purchase an artificial tree like we do. Mm. It is good to get that real slash don't also narc. Artificial.
Don't narc on our artificial tree.
I mean, it's practical. You know, it's a cost savings and,
yeah,
you know.
And they didn't have to cut down a tree to
yeah,
do it.
Yeah, so
there's
really,
another tree
right?
out there alive.
Right.
And our tree was made out of recycled soda can holders yeah. and water bottles.
So we're the heroes if you think about it.
And guns. They melted them down to make our tree. And I think that's pretty cool. I don't know. I guess that's just me. Mm-hmm. But thank you to Bowen and Augustus for the use for our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And hey, thanks to MaximumFun.org. What's that? Tippy tap, 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 click, click, click. That's a good looking website.
Yeah, it's even more good looking now than it used to be.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to neg their old website. But it looks good. They both looked good. This one looks very, very good. New website. Same stuff that you love to talk about, share with your friends. Very mm-hmm. social, mm-hmm. very viral. Thank you, MaximumFun.org. Yeah. And we got other stuff at macroy.family. Bunch of merch fanny packs back in stock. I know people want that fanny pack.
Yeah.
It's a good holiday present.
Yeah, right? The holidays are coming up and let's say you got a coworker.
Who likes Pogs, but doesn't have anywhere to keep them.
Or likes a McElroy product, and that's what you guys talk about instead of Mondays on Monday.
Yeah.
You know? And you could get them something.
You still talk about Monday. Like, you talk about both things, but you got to say, ugh, Monday. You got to say something. It's in the act.
Can I ask you, since you work with your family yeah. and you all work remotely on Mondays, are you guys like, ugh? Do you like just fulfill that requirement
If we don't. We get yelled at by the boss.
All right. We're going to set aside 7 minutes on this Skype call to just talk about Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Got to talk about Toby's sweater and how he pretty much wears it every Monday.
Yeah, there isn't even a Toby. But Travis dresses up like Dilbert because he loves Dilbert and thinks it's so funny and loves Scott out of Spy. Money won't pay.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.